Beautiful song, right? For you that may not know, my name is David Blackburn. I'm not Damon Talkington. I have much more hair than Damon Talkington. So let's begin with a question. When was the last time you experienced real joy? You know, the kind of joy you can't contain just kind of spills out of you. See, I remember that kind of joy as a kid when we'd have something called a snow day. In 2019, it doesn't seem like it takes anything more than about a quarter of an inch of snow to get school canceled. But let me tell you, way back in my day, way back, we'd walk 10 miles to school and it was all uphill. All uphill. It took a pretty good-sized snow to cancel school. Something like we had Sunday, Monday. Having a day off school was a joy because, well, it was a day off school. I was a fairly good student, but who'd pass that up, you know? It would happen a few times during the winter season, and I can remember the excitement my kid sister and I would have when we'd either hear it on KMOX, or back then you only had a few channels on TV, and so it was one of the local St. Louis TV channels, that school was canceled. Man, whew. The great joy of that moment. So when was the last time you experienced joy that just kind of spilled out of you? Now for a second question. How much of that kind of joy are you living with today? You say, you know, you had to go back a long way to talk about your joy. Right now, how would you rate yourself if we had such a thing on a scale of joy? 10 being great joy, kind of spill out of your joy. Where are you this morning? Are you a 9? Are you a 7? Maybe just a 3 or a 4. Let's look what Luke writes to us, the traditional Christmas story. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." The angel said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." This is interesting because this heavenly creature uses the word joy. That word was in the angel's vocabulary. That word, joy, was from heaven. You see, in our culture, I believe the emotion of joy is sought. In 2017, Twitter, and I'm not a Twitter user, but there was a vote for the most popular emoji of all time. You know which emoji won? Here it is. I didn't even know what that was. That's the tears of joy emoji. And I think Cindy put a little Santa hat on it for us. Now don't go, if you don't get anything else out of the message, you got this, didn't you? You know the most popular emoji of all time. So don't leave here saying, "I never got anything from what Pastor David said." Now I would guess that most of us would agree that more joy in our lives and more joy in the world would be a good thing. Amen? You'd agree to that? And not just the emoji kind of joy, but that deep abiding joy that kind of just spills out of you. The kind of joy that doesn't diminish even when our circumstances change from good to not so good. And sadly, at this time of year, many people don't experience more joy in their lives. They are unjoyful. They actually experience more anxiety leading up to Christmas. And then afterwards, they take this big tumble down into a sense of emptiness and loneliness. And is that all there is? Did you know that Christmas is the most likely time of the year to experience depression? You'd think it would just be the opposite. The angel messenger didn't say, "I bring good news and great joy." The angel said, "Because of the good news that I'm bringing to you, you will have great joy." Great joy is always a response and always connected to the good news about Jesus Christ. So we could say it this way: because of the good news about Jesus' birth, there'll be great joy for all. C.S. Lewis was a brilliant man, British author, known for his works of fiction. Some of you may have read the Chronicles of Narnia, the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Maybe you saw the movie. Anybody see the movie? Way back. Lewis also wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And in the book, Lewis recounts his search for joy. He spent many years of his life as an atheist. He was raised in the Anglican Church in England. But he rejected what he saw and experienced as a child growing up in that church. And Lewis recounts how it was largely this word, J-O-Y, that led him back to his faith in God. He said that he could find no other lasting source of joy outside of Jesus. Lewis discovered that after years of searching, that what the angel said to the shepherds was actually true. That joy does go hand in hand with the good news of Jesus Christ. What we Christians celebrate this time of year and what the angels came to proclaim and communicate was the fact that God had become human in the person of Jesus. A virgin will become pregnant and have a son, and he will be called, what is the word? Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This time of year, we sing one of my favorite Christmas carols. And it's not Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Now, don't you wish I wouldn't have said that? Because all afternoon, that's going to be going through your head. Now, my favorite Christmas carol, if I had to pick just one, is Joy to the World. Joy to the World was written 300 years ago, 1719, by a Methodist minister named Isaac Watts. Watts based the song on scripture passages that he found in Genesis and the book of Psalms. You remember the first two lines of the song? Sing it with me. Joy to the world. Let earth receive her king. Very good. Those lines speak of Jesus the Savior and what he will do someday. He will go from being that baby in the manger to the one who died on the cross for all men and women's sins. And then he overcame death by his resurrection 3 days later. Now King Jesus extends that invitation to us to be part of victory over sin, death, and the grave, and his coming again. The song was more about Jesus' second coming than his first. And God extends that invitation to everyone, to the shepherds, of course, to Jews and Gentiles, to wise men and not so wise men. The invitation is for everyone. The invitation is for you and for me. I want to contrast this picture of joy with what we see in America today. Joy is often chalked up to happiness or an emotion we feel in response to a particular circumstance. No school? Great joy! New car? Great joy! Blues win? Amen, brothers and sisters. You see, there are problems with this thinking because we can easily become victims to our circumstances. We can become dependent on something other than the good news of Jesus Christ to try and bring us joy in our lives. F.B. Meyer was a psychologist who studied the connection between joy, emotions, and spiritual life. He came to the conclusion that the only circumstance truly affecting our joy is our acceptance of Christ by way of being born again. You see, what the angels knew and what the writer of Psalms knew and what the psychologists knew is that in spite of any circumstance, there is good news that can't be overcome by anything that life throws at you. Maybe the best part about this kind of good news is that fact that it's for all people today. It's for the person who feels they just can't get a break in life, and that they're always going to struggle and scrape to get by. It's for the person who's living overwhelmed with anxiety and depression and fear. It's for the young couple who are trying to make ends meet and living paycheck to paycheck while raising their small family. It's for the man who feels like he's stuck in a dead-end job, just living one day to the next without any real purpose in his life. It's for the man or woman who has what we would consider a great life, a fulfilling job with beautiful children, but they still feel like there's something missing in their life. It's for all of us today, no matter where we are in life's journey. And I would say, please, don't leave this building today without knowing that God wants you to experience His joy this Christmas. His joy. The good news the angels proclaimed 2,000 years ago is for you and for me, for our neighbors, for our family, for people around this earth. So how might we experience joy in a more tangible way in our lives? The first thing we might consider doing is saying yes. Saying yes. The biblical word for saying yes to God is repentance. In the Bible, there's a man named John, who we refer to as John the... Let's read. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." John went around the countryside, itinerant preacher, announcing the arrival of the public ministry of his cousin, Jesus Christ. And he tells people, the kingdom of God has come near. It's no longer in heaven. It's down here on the earth now, in the personification of Jesus, and it's time to repent. The good news about Jesus is the cause of joy. And repentance is the gateway to that good news. This Christmas, I've been praying that God would press hard on hearts all around the world to make a choice. Some of your hearts, some of my family members' hearts, people I don't even know. But they would make a choice. Are they going to go on being the same as before? Or will they say yes to Jesus and His way of living life through repentance? If you choose to say yes to repentance, you must also say no. Say no to your own agenda. No to your own way. No to your pride. No to your selfishness. No to your indifference. These are some of the biggest barriers of joy that we're going to experience. My way. My pride. My selfishness, my indifference to those around me. Through repentance, we choose to say yes to God's way of living. And His way of living is marked by forgiveness, selfless love, compassion, and concern for those who the Bible calls the least of these. Maybe today there's a conversation that you need to have with God about an area in your life where you know you need to repent. You need to think differently about something you've said or about something you've done, about something you haven't done. You need to say, God, I'm sorry. And from this moment on, I'm going to think differently about this thing in my life, whatever that might be. I'm going to open my heart, God, to let more of Your goodness into my life and flowing out to others. You see, every day when we get up, we have a choice to make. Will we let more of God's way of living and goodness into our lives so it can then flow out to others? Or will we choose not to do that? Think about how life-changing it would be if we all made a commitment starting today to let more of God's way of living and goodness into us so we could give it to others. How would it be if Faith Fellowship was a place that was known for its great joy? Not just its great music, but great joy. Think about how wonderful it would be when people living in Madison County heard the word Christian, they first and foremost associated it with joy and not judgment. What if that same glory of heaven that blazed out of those angels on that night, that Christmas night, was the same glory that would shine forth from us this Christmas season and all through 2020? Let it shine through me, Lord Jesus. Let that be our prayer. It starts with saying yes to God. When we say yes to God, more of His goodness starts flowing through us to those who so desperately need it, not only at Christmas, but all through the year. You see, on Christmas Day, some of the women of Faith Fellowship are going to let loose some of that goodness at Rosewood Care Center over here on Humboldt Road. They have purchased and they have gift-wrapped presents for 40 residents that the Rosewood staff has identified who don't have any family to share Christmas with this year. That's the goodness of God being let loose through this group of women in our church that are known as Women of Faith. I want us to pray for them right now. Lord, when they go Christmas Day to this place, Rosewood Care Center, let they be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are forgotten, don't even have a family member to come to be with them at Christmas. Thank you for this ministry that you've laid on the hearts of the women of our church. Bless them and use them richly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, amen. And I could go on, but I wanted to pick them out. There are many groups in our church that are letting the glory of God loose through their lives onto others. Another way we can live more joyfully this season is by making room. We had a tradition in my home, as many of you have traditions in your home around Christmas time, and we would read the Christmas story on Christmas Eve from the chapter 2 of Luke, and we're going to read a portion of that right now. She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. We learn from this that Mary had to put little baby Jesus in an animal feed box of some kind, which would normally be found in an animal shelter, sanctuary, container, whatever, stable, whatever you want to call it. We're not quite sure what it was. She had to do this because there was no room for Joseph and Mary in the what? They didn't have motels back then, Holiday Inns on every corner. And we can get too hard on the innkeeper. We can come down too hard on him for not providing a place for this couple to stay. But we know the story. A Roman census has been required. And so everybody has to go back to their birth town. And people are flooding into the small town of Bethlehem to register their families. There was probably, at the most, one public place to stay. And the sign out front read, "No vacancy." The inn was full. There was no more room. And this is a metaphor for many of our lives when it comes to letting Jesus in and making room for him. I heard one pastor say this week that our hearts are the inn. And I wonder how many times Jesus has heard something like this from some of us. "Jesus, my life's just too full right now. My schedule is maxed out. Jesus, there are too many parties to attend. There are too many gifts yet to buy. There are too many family members to feed, Jesus. And oh, don't you know, Jesus, there are too many Hallmark Christmas movies to watch." I've seen too many of those lately. My wife's a fan. I'm not. "Jesus, have you seen my to-do list? I'm sorry, Jesus, but there's just no more room for you. Not in 2019. So how many of you are saying no to Jesus because you're too busy and your schedule's too full? There's no room in your life for him. But here's the catch-22. The kind of joy we're talking about this morning, the kind of joy we want in our lives, is only available when we make room for Jesus in our lives. You can't have that joy if you don't want to make room for Jesus. Saying yes to God is vitally important. But then we're called to structure our lives in a way that we continue to say yes by making room for him in our lives. When you read through the Christmas story in Matthew and Luke, you see that people gave up something to gain joy. The shepherds had to temporarily give up the oversight of their sheep so they could hurry into Bethlehem and see the baby Jesus. The wise men who followed the star from the east to see Jesus had to give up their sense of safety and say no to King Herod and disobey King Herod at the risk of losing their lives. They did it so they could say yes to Jesus and they could say yes to joy. So here's the question: what will you say no to this Christmas to make room for Jesus and the joy he wants you to have? There are a few practical ways you can do that. Maybe it's saying no to work email from home, and you can spend more time with your spouse watching Hallmark Christmas movies. Maybe it's saying no to cell phones at the dinner table so you can be more engaged with your family. Maybe it's saying no to Fox that I like to listen to and on the radio as I commute, and listening more to something like 99.1 FM Joy and the worship songs interspersed with all the great Christmas songs. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. We're all individually different. Say, God, show me what I can do this Christmas season, just 3 days out, so I can make more room for you, my Savior, my Lord, and experience your joy this Christmas. The last way we can live more joyfully is to pay attention. Pay attention to the ways in which God is already impacting your life. After having visited the baby Jesus, we're told this: the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. No bait and switch here. Just as the angel had told them. The shepherds had left their sheep so they could see with their own eyes what the angel had proclaimed to them. They made room in their schedules for joy. Now they're heading back home. Luke points out that they can't help but worship, glorify, worship, and praise God on their way back to the fields. Notice they're going back to the same old job, back to the same old night shift, back to the same old dumb sheep. But now they have a different perspective. They're going with a different step in their walk because they paid attention to what the angels told them. They had been blessed beyond measure by what they saw in that stable. And the same is true for you and me. The more we pay attention to the mighty and wonderful things God is doing in the world and in our lives, the more we will respond with joy. I'll say it one more time. The more you and I pay attention to the mighty and wonderful things God is doing, not only in the world, but in our own lives, we will want to respond spontaneously with joy. You know, we can practice paying attention to each new day and the opportunities God gives us in that day. We can practice by paying attention to the needs of the people in this room. And we can come alongside them because we care for them when life knocks them down. Do you care for the others in this room? Do you pray for other people in this room when you're aware of some situations in their life that are hard and troubling? Maybe it's paying attention to the privilege we have and the bounty we have of sharing a meal with our family and friends this Christmas season. We can practice by paying attention to the sound of the laughter of the children in the zone. I love to walk over there after church or before church and hear them playing. We pay attention to what God is doing, and then we thank Him for all the ways He's already impacted our lives. He doesn't have to do anything else in my life for me to thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him. I'm not looking for anything else. If it comes, wonderful. But He's proved Himself more than faithful to me. When we do this, we find ourselves seeing God at work in all things, from the small to the great. And we can't help but be joyful. I think this is what David was getting at when he wrote this. And I want us to read it together. Psalm 92, verse 4. You made me find joy in what you have done, O Lord. I will sing joyfully about the works of your hands. I've seen what you've done, Lord. And because of that, I'm going to sing and have joy in my heart. God wants all of us to experience His joy at this Christmas season. Do you want His joy? You know, I do. I want His joy for you. I want His joy for me and my family. If you want His joy, remember these three things. Say yes to God through repentance. Make more room in your life for Him. And not only at Christmas, all through 2020 and beyond. And then look around, open your eyes, open your heart to see and pay attention to what God is doing and has already done in your life to bring blessings and joy that maybe you have overlooked. One of the lines in that favorite carol of mine, Joy to the World, says, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And I want to see God's joy repeated over and over in your life, your children's lives, your grandchildren's lives, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren. And mine too. Now, I had planned to preach for an hour this morning. And by my watch, it's been about 30 minutes. But I can stay up here if you'd like. But really, as a gesture of joy to you, I'm going to cut it off right here. Not only do I want to bring you some joy by making a short message, but I also didn't want to give any of you an excuse to miss the cake and fellowship. Even if you say, well, you know, I'm not a normal attender here. I'm kind of new. I'm in visiting family and friends. Please stay. There's lots of cake. And if you don't eat it, Pastor Damon will have to. And the Lord knows He doesn't need it. See, that's why He only lets me preach a few times a year. The last time it was about the pirates, wasn't it? Yeah. So anyway, stay with us. There's punch, there's cake. Stay, mingle, and enjoy the time together. Also, there are prayer teams on both sides this morning. If you have a prayer request, a need, something in your heart, something in the life of someone you love, come forward. Let them pray with you. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that Your intention to give us joy, the kind of joy that just kind of spills out of us, the kind of joy, Lord, that's not dependent upon our circumstances, whether we get good things in life or not so good. Lord, the steady joy of knowing God loves us and knowing that God favors us and God wants to work through us. Again, Lord, we pray for the ministries that go forth from this church that have let God shine through them to touch the lives of other people. And Lord, in this Christmas season, let us be aware of the needs around us. And when you prompt us by your Spirit, help us to respond to help those needs. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.